death left us years ago. So there ain't no fate except the one you make. And there ain't no hell except the shit you take every day. So don't tell me life doesn't hurt, and that you don't need the people, cause you've got your church. You gotta take your head out of the sky, because there ain't nothing there but the satellites. Und wir are the non-profits. I'm Dennis Loubet. And along with Jeff D., Russell Glasser, and our studio audience, we're coming to you live from the undisclosed location in Austin, Texas, on the 1st of October 2014. This show is sponsored by the Atheist Community of Austin, a non-profit educational organization committed to the purity of Darwinian evolution and the separation of the church and the state. If you want to learn more about the ACA and survival of the fittest, you can call their voicemail at 512-220-6561 or visit their website at www.atheist-community.org. The nonprofits broadcast live every superior to... The nonprofits broadcasts life to superior products of natural selection every first and third Wednesday of each month from 7 to 8:30 Central Time. You can join the nonprofits chat room by following the directions at www.nonprofitsradio.com. So sit back and we will explain how Darwinian evolution has determined we should annex Poland.
Yes, my name.
Yeah.
We're sorry for making you laugh.
I complain about the Chinese accent in the episodes before, and then I do this. I am such a bad person. But that was in deference to somebody lately squandering their 15 minutes of fame parroting the slander that Nazi Germany was based on Darwinian principles.
What fame did they have?
I don't know. It was enough to be, you know, shared several times on Facebook.
Oh, fantastic.
A new measure of fame.
And that's what we like to do here on the nonprofits is make fun of people by mimicking them.
Well, as I often like to say, you can make anything cool sound much lamer if you just add "on the internet" at the end.
Yes,
I'm famous. Or
on the internet,
we do a radio show.
Are we the baddies?
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi.
As some of you might have noticed, I wasn't here last time. Did you have
we
a good show?
You.
Yeah.
We did. We had a very good... I mean, it was terrible. We couldn't do it without you.
You did have a show, though, right? Because the
did.
Time before
yes.
that, you just totally wimped out and didn't have one.
Well, I mean, it was just... It was not only you. It was someone else.
Yeah,
also.
Well, Naomi wanted a show, so we figured, what the hell?
Yeah, she saved it personally.
I was away in Michigan for a game convention.
Yeah.
Caught a horrible, horrible, horrible cold.
Mm.
And had a bunch of work to do on top of that. So I have not listened to last week's episode yet.
But you're recovered now.
I'm fine now.
You're ready to roll.
It's bad. You know, I've always been warned, you don't, if you get a bad cold, right, that there's the risk that it goes into your lungs, right? It turns into a lung infection. I never had that before until now. That's bad.
Don't ever
let that happen.
Don't have colds.
When you are given a choice between like being in pain and breathing, that's bad.
Yeah,
that is not a good option. It's a pair of options to have. So either remain alive or stop being in pain. Ow. So I have no idea what happened last episode because I'm just now recovered and didn't have a chance. And
well, it's easy. We talked about a bunch of stuff.
But what I do have is a bunch of listener mail in response to last episode.
Ah.
So this will be interesting for me reading questions from our listeners about stuff that I have no idea what the hell we're talking about.
And you can reconstruct the entire episodes from our answers.
We did extend
You'd do that since you knew what it was all about.
We did extend some conversations we'd already had the previous time, except as the guy reading the mail, I put my foot down and said, no more Muslim checkout clerk.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You don't remember the Muslim checkout clerk?
Nope. No. No, and I honestly, it doesn't sound very interesting, so I'd rather you didn't remind me. Okay, so where do you want to start with? You want to start with news? Well, or
I think we're starting in a newspaper in Kenya, The Star.
Okay.
Where apparently a pastor who used to force followers to eat grass is now asking them to drink petrol that he turned into pineapple juice.
What, magically turned into pineapple juice?
You know, they can do that. I mean, if you can transubstantiate
wine into
blood.
If you do water
into
wine, I guess you can do...
Aren't you supposed to smoke grass?
Petrol into...
You could smoke petrol, but I think that might be a little more dangerous.
I'm sorry, in the form of brownies, you're allowed to eat grass.
Yes. A controversial South African pastor, infamous for making his congregation eat grass, has struck again, this time encouraging members of his church to drink the petrol that he miraculously turned into pineapple juice. Pastor Lesego Daniel of Rabboni Center Ministries is on a YouTube video that starts with a cautionary note. Warning, the level of the anointing is not the same. If you cannot turn water into wine, please do not try this. Which is actually really good advice, since nobody can turn water into wine, and nobody should try that.
Right. And also, it's not about turning water into wine. It's about turning petrol into
pineapple juice.
Now water into wine is the advanced version.
I want a double-blind test. I want a double-blind test. People drinking water, people drinking petrol, and saying
wine.
Pineapple juice and petrol and going... Okay, this is pineapple juice. Oh, good grief.
You can have a double blind test, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which one is the petrol?
Yum.
I feel like I could pass that test. But you're not supposed to identify it as petrol. You're supposed to think it's pineapple juice now.
Uh-huh.
The clip starts with a demo on faith where Luke 1:37 that says, "Nothing is impossible with God," is quoted. In the demo, a match is used to show that the fluid filling a bowl is really petrol. After the demo, members of Daniel's congregation are seen drinking what he claims is petrol, saying it tastes as sweet as pineapple juice and iron brew. Must be a South African thing.
Uh-huh.
Members of the congregation are seen desperately clamoring to drink the petrol as the priest preaches and encourages them. According to Healthline.com, petrol is dangerous because it is poisonous. Exposure to it, either through physical contact or inhalation, can cause health problems such as abdominal pain, vision loss, and burning in the esophagus. It also causes dizziness, extreme fatigue, convulsions, body weakness, and unconsciousness.
What does pineapple juice cause?
Which members of the congregation do appear to display in the video?
Oh, man.
So, wait a minute. I was assuming up until that last sentence that what we were talking about is some kind of bait and switch.
Some kind of doctored video where...
Are we instead to understand that this guy is just convincing his people to drink gasoline?
And pretend that it's
some kind of...
excuse me.
you're saying it's some kind of a hypnosis kind of thing?
I can't really tell because the reporting in this story is not very thorough. You would think because what I just read was the last sentence in the story.
Oh, wow. That's it. It's over.
That is the part that would require some follow up.
Right.
Yeah, you'd think.
Now there was that other cult a few years back that did something similar. Only they turned water into Kool-Aid.
Yes. And that was. Yeah, awesome. Drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
But that turned out to have characteristics that you don't normally expect from Kool-Aid.
Right. Or petrol. I mean,
it was a while. It killed them a lot more effectively than petrol. So are we to now start you know, using the phrase, talking about not drinking.
Don't drink the petrol.
The pineapple. No, the pineapple juice. Don't drink the pineapple juice.
I like that. I feel like the Kool-Aid thing has run its course. A little too cliche at this point.
This story is going to have to make the rounds a lot more effectively before people will get the joke.
Yeah, nobody will know what we're talking about.
That's really sad. Yes. So there's nothing in here. It actually reports people going to the hospital or anything, though.
I don't know. There's like a lengthy YouTube video, which I did not bother to watch.
Huh.
But I doubt the video, since it seems to be a marketing thing for this guy, I doubt the video shows people going to the hospital afterwards.
No, sure. They go to the hospital, and he convinces them all that it's heaven.
I guess so. It's so clean.
Well, I'm against that.
Yeah.
That's it? Wow.
That's it.
Afraid so.
Shall we alternate?
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Go for it.
I'm going to alternate now. You guys talked about an interesting board game in episode 1317.
Mm.
I searched your show notes for that episode, at least what I thought was the show notes, and didn't see anything linking to how to acquire the game. Any chance you could provide me with such a link? Asks Shamar. What are they talking about? You guys talk about a board game last episode?
Somebody... Gosh. I didn't save the link. But what was it? Apparently in some other country, like was it South American? Gosh, I don't remember. But there was this board game being promoted.
Yeah.
That was where you play an unscrupulous priest of some sort trying to... connive to make your church the most powerful in the area.
Uh-huh. That could be Dungeons and Dragons.
I suppose. But I mean, it's in a non-magical setting. So I don't still have that. I'd have to go searching through old hashtag nonprofits news on Twitter, by the way, if you hear about a story that might amuse us, on the show, anytime during the week, just tweet something with the hashtag nonprofits news, and I will read it.
Ah, okay.
You don't happen to keep your old stories around, so you could go check.
Not that one, apparently.
Oh, all right. Well, Shamar, we don't know. I can tell you that there's a game that I've never played that I acquired a copy of, and I've since donated to the ACA library here in Austin, Texas, called Ideology.
Hmm.
Which is a game about competing ideas, including religion. And there's another one called Dogma, which is literally a game for, like, changing the dogma of your religious organization to match what you want. Like, the players are all trying to change it in different ways.
Which
I've also never played,
like reality.
At least there you've got names of two other religion-related games that are not this one,
right?
That they talked about last episode.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't mean to put you on the spot, man.
I feel like that came from the mail, since I'm just remembering I was the mail reader last show.
Okay.
So maybe I'll search it while you're doing the next bit of mail.
Okay. It's with some trepidation that I note the fact that we got three more listener mails about things you talked about last episode.
Mm-hmm.
Do another news.
Well, I happen to be sticking with with African stories.
Okay.
All right.
I haven't vetted this one, though, so I'm kind of worried. TB Joshua Church collapse. I think TB would be tuberculosis in this case. South Africans intend to sue. Two South Africans who lost relatives when a church hostel in Lagos collapsed have told the BBC they intend to sue Nigerian evangelist TB Joshua. Oh, never mind.
Oh, okay.
It's not tuberculosis.
No.
Or maybe it is, but well, who knows?
The two men who both lost sisters in the collapse are appealing for more families to come together and bring a case against the preacher. At least 115 people, including 84 South Africans, died when the multi-story building fell down earlier this month. I'm not sure that this has a real religion angle other than that it happened to be in a church.
Yeah, I think that's the case.
We can speculate if you like.
Yeah, but about, I don't think you know. That's very responsible.
Okay, we could just talk about how, you know, it's clearly an act of God, so what's the problem?
That's right. God will.
It's all God's plan.
But yeah, forget this story.
Okay, fine. So how about this? As much as I enjoyed hearing you all chuckling about the battles of Satanists, excuse me, it probably should be made clear that despite the name, they aren't actually all the same, and the tussle wasn't some doctrinal schism, as happens in Christianity. You know, remember the discussion about Satanists from last episode that this guy's referring to? Okay, good, because...
There's all sorts of different
I need you guys to remember this
stuff. Yes, we certainly do.
There are people who worship the devil, or say they do, and think Lucifer is the one true God, and other religions have all been fooled, or some such, but Church of Satan... comes from a completely different angle. And
I'm pretty sure we said that on the last episode. I mean, we rarely mention the Church of Satan without clarifying that we know damn well that a lot of people calling themselves Church of Satan don't believe in Satan.
Okay, love the show, and you should all definitely keep Naomi as a regular, says Muzz in Perth, Australia. Okay. Unless that's supposed to be Muse. It could be Muse. It's M-U-Z. I'm going with Muzz. Awesome.
Okay.
These listener mails are not panning out very well.
These news stories aren't panning out very
come
well.
On.
I've just rejected one more. Well,
do you got a good one yet?
Pat
I can go on.
That says okay.
Shall I just move on to a different kind of listener mail, not about last episode?
From the BBC, the unfaithful Bishop of Arundel and Brighton resigns.
I believe that's Arundel.
Arundel. Okay. The Catholic Bishop of Arundel and Brighton has resigned, saying he brought shame on the diocese. The Right Reverend Kieran Conry, whose diocese covers Sussex and Surrey, said he had been unfaithful to his promises as a Catholic priest. He said his actions were not illegal and did not involve minors. He apologized to those hurt by my actions and then to all of those inside and outside the diocese who will be shocked, hurt, and saddened. He's not going to get specific with this damn thing, is he?
No. How does he feel about those of us where, whatever it is, if we found out, we just wouldn't be surprised?
I'm sure he's very sorry towards us, too.
I think so. Okay.
He said his resignation would take immediate effect, and he would now take time to consider his future. Blah, blah, blah. Well, this is a terrible
So some mysterious
story.
Thing blah. Happened.
Yes.
And has no explanation, and it has to do with a priest.
This local guy in England did a bad thing, and now he's not a priest anymore. Whoop-de-doo.
Well, you picked the story.
I know. I read the nonprofits news hashtag.
All right, here we go.
The next one is going
to
be better.
Man, I go all of the trouble to write an intro and end game here. You could at least vet your story.
A 2-minute intro. Thanks, Dennis.
ready?
Yes.
In the 1317 show, you read the story about the lady who needed money for dental work. Do you remember that?
I think so.
Getting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
I wasn't listening. What did you say?
Were you listening during the show when the story was read?
What story again?
The lady who needed dental work, money for dental work. Wow. Okay.
What about it?
Well, if you don't remember it, I don't know why I should even go on with the letter. It's this listener, Carl, goes on to say,
no, continue. Uh-huh,
uh-huh. Perhaps we can do a fundraiser for her that might shame Pat Robertson.
Hmm. Oh,
but if you don't
Pat
remember
Robertson,
what it was about.
This lady was tithing every week.
Right.
Oh.
And she was poor, and so she wrote in to Pat Robertson to say, what am I doing wrong? And he said, you know, you're probably not being faithful enough, and you can always get a second job. This really old lady.
Wow. Well, that's horrible. Shall we?
He's telling us to raise money for her.
No, he's raising the question. Atheists could step in.
Yes, we could.
Here's a person just been crapped all over by their religious leader, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
He's completely exposed. I'm guessing from what little you have said about the story, since I didn't hear the episode, that he just completely exposed that has no interest in her except as a source of money.
Right.
And atheist could step in and help her out. You know what's likely to happen.
Right. It goes straight to Pat Roberts.
Yes.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing is.
Or there's the more common thing, which is simply refusal.
Right. There's that too.
Right. I mean, I do think that atheists should absolutely be front and center with charitable work. But if you're gonna raise some money for somebody, I don't think people who are poor because they are currently contributing to religion on an ongoing basis are the most efficient targets of that charity.
Is that what charity is about, is efficiency?
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm sad for the... Well, in part it is. If you have a certain number of dollars to spread around, you want to alleviate the most suffering, I think.
Well,
yeah.
I think kinda, except that sort of thinking gets us into these pointless, stupid battles where person supporting cause A gets into a fight with person supporting cause B on the argument that, well, my cause is more important than your cause.
Right.
And I that always makes me nervous because I would just like people to relax.
Yeah,
everybody was just felt free to support what causes that they thought were important, a lot more would get done and a lot less time would be wasted with people yelling at each other over stupid disagreements like that.
I agree. And I'm not saying I would discourage somebody who wanted to start up a fundraiser for that.
Right.
I'm just saying that I wouldn't put my particular energies toward that.
That's perfectly fair. Carl, though, if Carl wants to start a fund to raise money for that lady's dental work, more power to him.
I would like to talk her out of tithing so much.
There's a site called FundMe.
GoFundMe.
Sorry. Yes.
No, that's a perfect segue. So just a moment. I'm going to do more.
Keep going.
You might recall that in a previous story.
Yes.
It's not what you think. Russell, a few episodes ago, you read the story about the guy in Nigeria whose family committed him when he came out as an atheist.
Oh, yeah.
Mubarak Bala.
Thank you. Yes.
Did you know Mubarak Bala is out now?
I did.
And did you know that there's an Indiegogo project to raise money to get him out of there and to Britain? Where he can, you know, live safely and have a career and stuff.
I'm all for that.
That would be cool.
If anybody's interested in supporting that, go to Indiegogo.com and I think if you search for Mubarak Bala, M-U-B-A-R-A-K dash. I put a dash because that's what the title is.
Mm-hmm.
But you try it with or without. Mubarak, M-U-B-A-R-A-K Bala.
Yeah, it's two names. It's Mubarak Hossein Bala.
Yes, it is. But in the URL,
there's a hyphen.
Ah, okay. And you found it?
No.
By doing a search? You didn't even try.
I wasn't searching for it.
Okay. Since we were on the topic of fundraisers, that, of course, is a fellow atheist. And no particular reason why we should focus on helping our fellow atheists more than we help just random people that need it.
Of course.
Though, if that's okay, if that's what people want to do.
So, we mentioned Satanists earlier. And they don't believe in Satan, but maybe they ought to because
he seems to be involved
with a marketing campaign.
Does he?
Yeah, specifically, he is involved in kind of an anti-marketing campaign. Apparently, he's very concerned about the new Left Behind movie starring Nicolas Cage.
Yeah?
Yes.
Which,
I'm very concerned about that movie, frankly.
I am, too. Although, as much as I don't care to put money in those people's pockets, I'm thinking that when that comes out, it might be time for another group movie trip.
I was, frankly, stunned. shocked and stunned when I saw the trailer for that. Didn't they already make a Left Behind movie?
Oh yeah, and it did great.
So why is this happening again?
No, it did terrible.
Yeah,
I think.
And why are they doing another one?
Well, this one
because
has
that's what
Nicolas
you do
Cage.
when you get terrible results and you're one of these people, you double down, you do another one.
Look, quick, off the top
is that
of your
maybe,
head,
is that maybe an explanation for some of the books of the Bible which tell the same stories over again? They're like remakes.
Yeah.
First one didn't go over that well, but somebody still had the rights and they raised the money, so they funded a new book. Or it did really badly.
Let's just state it again.
Yeah.
Or it did really well.
With more appealing characters this time.
Sure.
Look, the 70s version of Genesis was fine, but this is the Tim Burton Genesis.
Right, exactly.
This one has way less singing.
More sex and explosions, yeah.
All right.
But I mean, name me the most successful Christian propaganda movie in the last 20 years.
The Passion, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that was what I was going to say. You get some big name actors.
When's there going to be a remake of that?
That's a good question.
I want a remake of that with that kid who was in. I'm not going to be able to remember him. That really nerdy kid that's in a lot of things these days. I can't remember.
Oh, great.
Anyway,
good job.
So
that guy who was in that thing.
Listeners at home, listeners can imagine any nerdy kid that they've seen in any Hollywood movie recently. Imagine, that's who I want for Christ.
Yeah, well, is he a fat nerdy kid?
No. Very
skinny
and nerdy
kid.
Yeah, the reason they haven't remade it is it takes a long time to make that fake blood, you know, so they've got to make more gallons for a remake. I mean,
well, Halloween is coming around, and you can buy
and more prosthetics
for his hamburger back.
Right,
Halloween is right around the corner, and you could buy, you know, whole tubes of that stuff down at the dime store.
Ain't so enough. Right. You need 50-gallon barrels.
Right. So what are we saying? There is going to be a remake of Passion of the Christ?
No, I have no idea. But
I mean, you think they're never going to make another Jesus Died for Your Sins movie again? Of course they are.
Okay.
They're going to keep making it as long as there are
movies.
I don't
think they've remade a movie of the scope of, like, the Ten Commandments, have they?
There was some animated versions.
That's right.
And actually, there's an Exodus movie coming up pretty soon, starring somebody that you would recognize.
Yeah.
Like...
that guy who was in that thing.
That guy, Batman, starring Batman.
Which one? That could be anybody.
The recent one. Christian Bale. Bale is like Moses or something.
What?
Cool.
Which is great because he
should be. It's Moses. He should be Jewish Bale.
Yeah,
that's right.
He doesn't look Jewish.
Come on, that was a good one.
Let my people go.
Yeah, I can see it now.
I'm Moses.
Anyway, Left Behind.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage coming out Friday. And it's been doing this marketing campaign where they show a poster of people running around and panicking. And then the only caption on it says, "Please do not bring unbelievers to this movie. Satan." The quote attributed to Satan.
Boy, there's going to be a lot of disappointed atheists out there.
Wait a minute. So what's the rationale?
Here it is.
You're supposed to not... Satan's supposed to be the deceiver,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yes.
So when it says... I have to follow the logic. When it says Satan wants you not to bring unbelievers,
right?
Yes.
That means you are supposed to bring unbelievers.
Yeah, because if you do,
and thus if you do,
they'll be so convinced.
Is this an actual
by
movie
Nicolas
studio?
Cage's movie?
But the three
is this an actual movie studio making this film, or is this one of those fly by night? You know,
they
Christian
landed Nicolas Cage. I mean,
yeah, but anybody can land Nicolas Cage.
Are you saying that Nicolas Cage does not have high standards in the role?
The Ghost Rider people got him twice. So,
but they are an actual. They are Marvel Studios.
Wasn't
Marvel Studios.
Yeah, it was
Ghost Rider?
I think
they
so.
Didn't make that.
I believe
no. Somebody licensed the rights from them.
Yeah, but I mean, it had the whole flipbooky intro.
Yeah, but that's not really.
I think
the second one.
I'm pretty sure.
Maybe. Okay.
I mean, it may even all have right. had a Stan Lee cameo.
I don't know. I didn't see the second one.
But
even though I kind of like the first one.
Knowing actually. That, you know, Satan knows that you know that the thing is that. It means that if
you think if you Satan take, is pulling a double a fake
Christian,
out?
Yeah, if you take a, if a Christian takes an atheist, he's doing Satan's bidding. Awesome.
Because actually, the movie is so bad that having the unbeliever by your side while you watch the movie, criticizing every yes. aspect of it, will tear Christians away from the faith.
That would be awesome.
That is, yeah. I mean, it's there's quite the diabolical plan for the Prince of Lies.
So there's no answer to my question of whether this is a real movie studio or just
I don't know. We'll have to look into the
some Christian
into its pedigree, as it were.
Why don't you read another mail, and I will pull up my trusty IMDb app.
Well, because the next mail I was going to read is specifically directed at you, but I'll just move on to something
else. Are you light on mail this week? Because I'm also kind of...
Not really. Well, I have actually a news story that I wanted to cover.
Okay.
Dun-dun-dun.
Because it's one of my things. But I'll just do this announcement-like thing.
Achtung.
Austin Atheists Helping the Homeless... ATXAHH is beginning their sixth year serving the Austin area. They are a network of about two dozen secular volunteers who pick up, store, and distribute basic living items to the homeless. Many of their volunteers knit or crochet items to be given away at their monthly giveaways under the bridge at I-35 and 8th Street. Dates are announced on their website, www.atxahh.com. AHH.com, and we'd like to thank their donations coordinator, Laura, for sending us that information.
Yay.
That was quick.
It's a good story.
You need more time. You need more time to find out if this is from an actual studio and not just some prefab.
I don't know. All I've found so far is that it also stars Leah Thompson, otherwise known as Lorraine McFly.
Right.
That's been a long time, though.
Yeah, it has been a while. The director is Vic Armstrong.
Is
I'm not familiar with him.
Are the people in this movie going to travel in time?
I wish. That would make it a much better movie.
Yeah. No, it's just planes falling out of the sky or something.
I'll go on with another letter if I may, then, right?
Okay.
If I shall.
People disappear and their clothes are left behind. You got a bunch of naked angels.
Pretty much know everything. There's no spoilers.
Creationism is no longer allowed to be taught as fact in UK public schools.
Oh,
yay!
No. I mean, yay!
It can only be taught in religious studies classes and not as an alternative to established science.
Awesome.
This small victory is a lot of meaning for me, says Dave in Oxford, UK. Mm-hmm. Once during our school assembly in the 90s, the headmaster showed us an article on snakes that focuses on their vestigial leg bones. He presented this as evidence that God had removed the legs of serpents as punishment for tricking Eve in the Garden of Eden.
Oh, wow.
I was only 8 years old at the time and didn't know any better and believed every word of what he said right up until I was 19. I'm delighted that in future, no teacher will be able to abuse their position to poison the minds of children.
Yay.
Yay. Kudos.
Why on earth? It's
2014.
It's so weird, that kind of thinking, right? Here we have a cosmic entity who apparently wrote the DNA of snakes in the first place.
Right.
Right? And then he's taken away their limbs, but he has to leave a little vestigial limb?
Apparently so. He can't do a good job.
Wouldn't an infinitely powerful, you know, creature engineer be able to cause creatures to have limbs or not have limbs in a completely transparent way without any trouble?
Yeah, you'd think.
Why does he need to have a smoking gun?
Why does he have to worry about process? I mean, he's an all-powerful being. Good grief.
I don't know, but maybe this has something to do with the real reason why snake handlers don't get bitten.
Oh, yeah? Yeah?
I got nothing there.
We got no.
I was just trying to make it.
They've got vestigial fangs?
Could be.
Why don't stick handlers get kicked because of those vestigial... No, never mind. It doesn't work.
I feel like I'm going to need some significant time filler. So I'm going over to a lengthy reporting piece by the Daily Beast.
Lengthy?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
It better be worth it.
I hope so.
Good grief.
We had some trouble today on all fronts.
The title is The $1 Billion a Year Right-Wing Conspiracy You Haven't Heard Of.
Oh, this.
Okay.
Yeah. I've heard of it, but only because I heard when this article came out.
Have you heard of the $1,750 a person gathering, which starts Thursday in Orlando, Florida?
Is that this coming Thursday, or was this a previous Thursday?
I believe this was from this week.
Okay. So, for anyone with
$35,000, that will be tomorrow. Yeah. Any like
the
person
second.
Who wants to go undercover or something? You mean?
Yeah.
Yes, we have somebody out there with $1,750 to throw away.
God.
If you're female, gay, non-Christian, or otherwise interested in the separation of church and state, your life has been affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
The Gathering is a conference of hard-right Christian organizations and, perhaps more important, funders. Most of them are not household names, at least if your household isn't evangelical. But that is the point. The Gathering is a hub of Christian right organizing. And the people in attendance have led the campaigns to privatize public schools, redefine religious liberty, as in the Hobby Lobby case, fight same-sex marriage, fight evolution, and, well, you know the rest. They're probably behind that, too. Featured speakers have included many of the usual suspects: Alliance Defending Freedom president and CEO Alan Sears, Focus on the Family president Jim Daly, I've done some shit apologists say by him, and Family Research Council head Tony Perkins. This year, however, they're joined by David Brooks of the New York Times and Michael Gerson of the Washington Post. Has the Gathering gone mainstream? Hardly, says Bruce Wilson, director of the advocacy group Truth Wins Out's Center Against Religious Extremism and a leading researcher on The Gathering. The selection of this year's speakers, he says, is just the latest in a long line of misdirections and canards. To be sure, untangling webs of funders, organizations, and campaigns can often feel like conspiracy mongering. Your brain begins to resemble one of those. This is what annoys me about the Daily Beast.
It's all wordy.
Fill a lot of stuff with rambling speculation. Beneath the hyperbole, The Gathering is as close to a vast right-wing conspiracy as you're likely to find. So with this year's conference about to get underway, Wilson gave the Daily Beast an exclusive interview over email, heavily redacted here, about this network of hard-right funders.
Wow.
Should I go on?
I don't know. Is it?
I'm going to go
on. Does it remain information-laden?
I think, they haven't even gotten to the interview text yet, so.
We don't want to write. Read what you think is relevant, man. It's your time.
So this guy says, The Gathering is an annual event at which many of the wealthiest conservative to hard-right evangelical philanthropists in America, representatives of the family DeVos, Coors, Prince, Green, McClellan, Amundsen, Fries, plus top leaders in the National Christian Foundation, meet with evangelical innovators with fresh ideas on how to evangelize the globe. The Gathering promotes family values agenda. You got commentary or just ugh?
Just ugh. Okay. This is making me sick.
Opposition to gay rights and reproductive rights, for example. And also a global vision that involves the eventual eradication of all competing belief systems that might compete with The Gathering's hard-right version of Christianity. Last year, for example, The Gathering 2013 brought together key funders, litigants, and plaintiffs of the Hobby Lobby case, including three generations of the Green family. The evangelical right financial dynasties and foundations that meet each year at The Gathering dispense upwards of $1 billion a year in grants, but even that is overshadowed by the bigger sums that the family and The Gathering have managed to route from the federal and state government to fund their movement via faith-based initiatives programs, USAID, PEPFAR, and other multi-billion dollar programs.
Yeah, that crap's got to stop.
Faith-based initiative.
Yeah, God. Absolutely.
Fucking propaganda shit.
Some of the NCF's co-founders were tied to Campus Crusade for Christ. We got chapters of those everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, this is an incredibly depressing story, yeah.
But on the other hand, this is going on, but what are the actual statistics showing? Aren't the actual statistics showing that these guys are fighting a losing battle?
Well, I had a conversation on the show with somebody who was throwing statistics, I mean, on the Atheist Experience.
Yeah, right. Not the show.
This is the show.
Other show.
The other show. With somebody who was who threw some statistics at me that said that fundamentalism is on the rise, and as we were talking about it, it occurred to me that it seems like what's really happening is more and more polarization, where people who are close to being atheists go hard atheist, and people who are kind of right-wing Christians go hard fundamentalist.
That's fine. Then I would want to know, you know, at what percentages are winding up in those two extreme positions. Because if fundamentalism is growing, but it's still going to be outstripped by us, then that's maybe we have less to worry about than this story makes it sound like.
Maybe, but maybe I certainly would not stop worrying. I mean, like,
sounds like they got the money.
Well,
behind
I'm not saying
the influence of Christians in government is one of the biggest things I worry about all the time.
When I say we don't have to worry, I mean we don't have to be. We don't have to have despair. Obviously, all this stuff needs to be fought and needs to be fought continually until there aren't any of these idiots out there trying to take over the government for their worldview, right? But okay. I did not mean to suggest that we could ignore them.
Right, right.
I'm saying there's a level of despair that one could react to with to this story with.
Yeah.
That might not be justified.
This
now those are the statistics I want to see. Do we have any?
You want me to try to look them up while we're doing
no,
the show?
You know,
no,
I
we
don't.
Can't do that.
I'm just raising the questions, man.
Yeah. Well, this interview question seems relevant. The interviewer asked, "This is exhausting, depressing stuff. What keeps you going?" He says, "Well, first, endless exposure to the politicized religious right renders the disturbing nature of the subject banal." Well, that's not very comforting.
Banal, yeah.
Banal. Good. So at one level, it becomes just another job specialization. But I think the story of the politicized religious right is one of the biggest untold stories of our time. It's the story of how a covert political movement driven by a well-organized, funded, and committed minority has perturbed the political arc of the biggest, wealthiest, and most powerful nation on Earth, and how it has subverted the national dialogue.
Yeah.
So
and that's
it
all
is
true. That's all fine. But I think we all remember the eyebrow raising statistics from the last presidential election, where despite vast amounts of money spent,
the
impact of that money was essentially zero. So I think that when we hear stories like this, you need to take into account that. There's no assumption that just because a bunch of money is being spent that any effect is being had.
It's
quite
true.
Possible.
Right? That's not a reason not to be aware of it and not to keep pushing for sanity.
Right.
I'm just saying.
The reason.
I'm not scared by that crap anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
I think they're on their way out. Okay. Well, that was that was a news. So let's do the email. It's aimed at you, Russell.
Over to you.
Something Russell said doesn't sit right with me.
What? What's wrong with you? Everything I say should sit right with you.
Oh, he's Canadian.
That explains it. I hate those guys.
No. No. It means I have to do a voice. Something Russell said doesn't sit right with me, eh? In the discussion on legalizing polygamy... Correct me if I'm wrong. You made the statement that, like, it's up to others to convince you that, like, we should not, withhold that we should not withhold marriage rights to the polyamorous trios, quartets, etc. That seems backwards to me, eh? We should be starting from a position of the broadest possible set of rights, and it should like be up to those who believe those rights should be limited to make their case, and you didn't. I think what Randy in Canada is trying to say is that he thought got the impression from you that you thought the default position was polygamous relationships needed to be not allowed unless arguments were brought to justify why they should be allowed.
I think that is what I'm saying. I think what I really think is that in order to make a legally recognized form of polygamy, which I am not against, I just want to repeat that every time, laws have to be drafted.
Many of my best friends are polygamous.
Very few of my best friends are actually polygamous.
Sorry.
Yes. Legal definitions have to be drawn, really complicated legal definitions have to be drawn up regarding the status of the people involved and their children, etc. And that is going to take work. I mean, having a law recognizing something is a non-trivial endeavor, which is not the same thing I would refer to as... I mean, I would not accept the same argument with gay marriage because laws already exist covering what it means for
two people
to join a contract. And there is really no – there really ought to be no legal distinction between men and women in most cases anyway. I mean, few laws are written specifically
with respect
to gender.
You're just saying there are practical differences.
There are practical differences
involving
that's what I
agreements
mean.
Between three or more people and agreements between two people.
Right. Yes.
And so the what you
they're not insurmountable.
What you wanted,
but...
what you wanted to be what you thought needed to be explained or justified or whatever was the nuts and bolts of how it would work and not justifications for why it should be allowed.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. He goes on.
Okay.
Because then there was this thing about children.
About.
Huh?
About children.
Yeah, so like the problem of like forcing children to marry old men in the FLDS tradition is like not one of polygamy, but of consent.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it amounts to, like, child sex slavery and should be prosecuted under laws relevant to that, mm-hmm. We are getting ready here in Canada to do exactly that in the case of Winston K. Blackmore and James Marion Oler. Huh. Unfortunately, it's like being prosecuted under anti-polygamy laws again and not under child trafficking laws as it, like, should be. And may be tossed out due to this being an infringement on the freedom of religion guaranteed in the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms again, right?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. If you had situations where one very young girl was being sold or whatever to one old rich guy and forcing her to marry him – it would be just as bad, regardless of whether more wives would be involved.
Would it be just as bad if it was...
What?
I'm not sure I can say this sentence. Would it be just as bad if it was someone, one little old lady, being sold to, like, one little boy?
Maybe the well-behaved Mormon
woman. It occurred to me to
woman.
Wonder, why is that the example? Why is it the little girl and the old man? Because there's...
because that is
a wide range of different
possibilities. That's where the problems tend to happen
reality. Right. You're right. You're right. But it would be a funny parody of a religion that did it the other way.
Yes.
All right. So he says it was like a mistake, like to put freedom of religion rather than freedom of belief in the in the, I guess he's saying in the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, since it, that is what creates this problem. I would never want to be in a polygamous marriage, but like that doesn't mean that it should be disallowed for all. A tradition, legal complexity, culture, none of these is a reason to limit rights. Okay, but his, Randy, I think, if I've understood Russell correctly, he's not saying the legal complexity is a reason to limit the rights. He's saying the legal complexity is something that has to be dealt with in order to get to the point of extending those rights.
Yeah, and I want to draw a distinction here.
Or in the course of extending those
rights.
Do
you have more than one email that was on the polygamy issue? Because I feel like more than one came up.
I did, but one of them was, sounded like somebody come who had like maybe – did you guys do a news story about this?
Yeah.
So well, I think
or,
one of them
we
was
followed
somebody,
up on something from a previous week.
I think one of them was from a listener who independently ran into some news story about that or had that issue come up, and they independently asked us about it. It didn't seem related to the previous show, so I didn't bring that one.
Maybe. I want to draw a distinction between the nuts and bolts of legally recognized marriage involving more than one person and the right of people to date and hang out with and sleep with as many people as they want, as long as it's, you know, consensual all the way around.
Right.
Which means if you're married to somebody and both of you agree that it's okay to fool around on the side, then it's okay. The law has no stake in enforcing something like that. In enforcing monogamous relationships.
Right.
This is not really related, but it, I think it might be amusing. I'm working on a project, computer game industry project.
Okay.
With this one other guy. And we've been having occasional lunch meetings to talk about the project. And then a third guy got involved, another person we knew, added to the lunch meetings. And at that point, I sent out a humorous message, like dubbing us. They gave us a name for the three of us, right,
well,
in weekly meetings. And when we met, it was like – I said, well, I see you like that name. He said, yeah, that was funny. Well, it's because I realized that if you have two people in a relationship, having a special name for your group is optional. Like the British spy show, The Avengers, Emma Peel and – Steed, right? They were the Avengers, even though there was just two of them. But on the other hand, he had Batman and Robin. It wasn't the Gotham duo, right?
Right.
It was Batman and Robin. It was optional. I can't think of a, I can't think of a group of superheroes or heroes or any kind of characters. Once there's three of them that go by their just their a string of their names.
Right. Well, then they start sounding like lawyers, you know.
That's true. Law firms do that, and I hadn't thought of that. Right. Then it can be, you know, Koch, Eilers, and Fleem.
Yeah, but the bigger your group gets, the more impractical that.
Yes, that's right.
True. So there's not actually a rule. Lawyers provide the evidence that it's not. There's not actually a rule. That you have to have a name. If there's three, because we are
trying
the
talk,
nonprofits. It's not Jeff and Dennis and Russell. Show.
Yeah, trying to talk about the JLA using that kind of system would turn into that Monty Python skit where the guy's name was so long he died halfway through.
You mean Johann Gellerpotty? Daver von Auschwitz, Sheldon Schlitt, Press, Kringle, Dingle, Dangle, Dongle. I used to have the whole name memorized. In high school, I did.
So, but you're saying we don't want to have the Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Hawkeye
comic.
Marriage.
No, sorry. Hawkeye's Marvel. Damn it.
Yeah.
Whatever. But
Hawkman.
League of
you
America.
Meant Hawkman.
Hawkman, yes.
And Hawkwoman.
Hawk people.
The only reason
Hawk person.
I bring this up because they're just as a kind of not particularly related example of things are different when you have groups of larger sizes. There are different considerations. And I'm agreeing with what Russell is saying here, that there's actually issues that should be addressed. But I also agree with the letter writer, and I think Russell does too, that that's not why you shouldn't be able to. It's just,
pretty much,
It's a thing.
But I like his idea that these some of these things should be tried according to human trafficking, you know, rules and stuff.
Yeah, that's totally.
I'm going, you know, okay, we'll call it a, you know, freedom of religion thing. Okay, so this little girl's being married to this old guy. What happens if this little girl says, okay, I'm not part of this religion anymore?
Right.
Boom. And I, suddenly.
And I don't really agree with Randy, who seems to think that that the problem was approaching the question legally as a freedom of religion question rather than a human trafficking question. Because all these religious freedom exemption things are called exemptions for a reason.
Yeah, that's
the way that they function is as overrides to the rest of the standard legal system.
Right.
So if it, even if it had been approached as this is human trafficking, it would be in precisely 5 seconds before they would respond, yeah, but that's the way we do it in our religion, see, so we're exempt.
Accommodation.
Yeah, that's bad.
And all that stuff has got to, it's just got to stop.
Yeah.
Right.
We need to be able to make laws based on, you know, what the actual needs of our society and culture and species are. And then religion should have to just deal with them.
Right. Now, one thing that stuck out in my mind from the other emails we received that you didn't read was that two separate people brought up this concern of theirs that if we legalize polygamy, then all the rich and powerful men will snap up all the all the women.
And the reason I didn't bring those letters is because of my policy that if they've gotten responses in email, I don't bring them to the show.
Yeah, but answered. I feel like the response is worth bringing up on the show.
Then don't don't answer them in email, and I'll bring it. Go ahead. Go ahead. You have the floor. Talk about your thing.
These people were concerned that there will be a shortage of women because all the rich guys will take them up. And I responded that basically if we had a genuinely egalitarian system of polygamy, equally lots of women would take up lots of men and then cancel out that problem. Or there could be potentially huge marriage where big groups of women married big groups of men.
And, of course, you know that's just horribly insulting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we're only interested in the money.
Right.
What the hell?
It is true that historically when there have been, like, monarchs or emperors,
they get a harem.
Who were the huge, powerful ones. I mean, there are cases in history of, like, I think Chinese emperor had like 10,000 wives or something like that. And that does lead to sort of social problems. But I mean, the problem is the power differential. Yeah.
You're married to the entire population.
Right. Huh.
All right.
Okay.
News?
Well, you know, we atheists are not the only ones who are concerned with the fooling around outside the holy bonds of matrimony.
Uh-oh.
In fact, there's a hot new Christian trend, according to addictinginfo.org.
Hot new Christian trend.
Wife swapping for Jesus.
Wait, hold it.
Yes?
That's not wife swapping with Jesus? Because that's what's going on. That's what's going on all along.
That would bring convents into it.
Well, it says people are swapping their wives for Jesus, so it's like, I've got this wife here. Can I have some Jesus?
Please, yes.
I'll trade you. And it would be unfair, because that one emperor would be able to get 10,000 Jesuses.
A Florida couple with a passion for swinging was having trouble finding people who were interested in trading spouses while discussing the finer points of their favorite Bible verses. So they launched a website that allowed people to do just that. Christy and Dean Parev, both former competitive bodybuilders, are very religious, but see no problem with dabbling in extramarital fornication every once in a while. According to the New York Post, I don't think God would be mad at what we're doing, Christy said. At first I was conflicted, but the more we looked at it, the more it makes sense to us. The 44-year-old added that she felt that mankind had been created to frolic and fornicate with one another. God God put people on Earth to breed and enjoy each other, she told Barcroft. I feel God is always with me, and he's put us here for a reason.
I think I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Yes.
I'll tell you, the biggest problem I have with this whole thing, though, frankly, from an objective perspective, is the use of the freaking religion to justify it.
Yeah.
I don't care what people want to do in the privacy of their own or each other's homes. I really don't care. That's up to them.
Yeah,
but to use this like invisible man in the sky of this is why. Yeah. This is why it's okay.
Yeah. They're swingers. They like to swing while doing the mental gymnastics required to make the swinging possible.
I'm actually really uncomfortable with the idea that people are having sex with each other while pulling out Bible quotes.
It's just wrong. It's like,
well, I mean, if that's the foreplay they like.
I more power to them, I guess, but whoa.
What would be the least desirable Bible quote to hear during sex?
Oh my God! I think that is a viewer's write-in question.
Why hast thou forsaken me?
It is finished. No.
I just can't top that.
There's no.
Boy, oh boy.
No.
Yeah, we're all about 7 years old.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, everyone.
I'll be coming up with new Bible quotes from time to time.
They're quoting some of the Psalms with the, you know, she lusted after her lovers, whose members were like that of donkeys or something like that.
Issue of horses. Yeah, I got an issue with horses.
Okay.
Anyway, if you want to find out more, check out fitnessswingers.com.
There you go.
Fitness Swingers.
I feel like I ought to go ahead and plug that website so other people can look for me.
Uh-huh. So they can look for you?
No. I'm not on fitnessswingers.com.
All right. Oh, God.
Whoa,
guys,
man.
That is so damn childish. Let's move on.
Yes.
Shall I do a story? I have something about
the
Pope.
Do a story, yes.
I have something about the Pope.
Okay. Oh, well, that'll liven things up.
The Pope?
Pope condemns extremists.
Yes.
Pope Francis spoke out on September 21st against the perversion, distortion, and exploitation of religion to justify violence as he visited Albania. Let no one use God as a shield while planning and carrying out the acts of violence and oppression, the pontiff said in an address to Albanian President Bujar Nishani, other state officials, religious leaders, and the diplomatic corps. May no one use religion as a pretext for actions against human dignity and against the fundamental rights of every man and woman.
Has he read the history of the Catholic Church?
Like over the last 5 years?
Oh, okay.
No, that's I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is
wow.
I just irony much?
Yeah.
I responded to this on Facebook. The Pope blaming he goes on to say, you know, the reason why religion has a bad reputation sometimes is because of these extremists. I said on Facebook, you know, the Pope blaming extremists for the unpopularity of religion is like a rapist blaming murderers for the unpopularity of crime.
Right.
Good
description.
Yes, there is some stuff that is more extreme than what the Catholic Church gets up to.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
There is. All right? But he's just saying, you know, don't look over here. Look over there. Blame those guys. And as long as he can find one guy on the planet that's more extreme than what his organization gets up to,
he wins.
He'll misdirect.
Right.
And get everybody to look at that.
Uh, old popes were all wrong.
Yeah. I'm checking to see if there's anything else worth reading in this. Mm.
Did he issue this from his golden throne? Or did he give away his golden throne?
Oh, no, it's still there. He doesn't use it that much. He supposedly doesn't sit on it. He'd rather that gold serve absolutely no purpose whatsoever other than to count as wealth contained, owned by his church. There's nothing else worth saying about this. You guys have any comments about the Pope? His latest ploy for trying to make himself look good.
I mean, his PR firm.
That Fox News guy are doing pretty well for themselves.
They are doing really well. Yeah.
I see
a lot of people sucking that stuff up.
I mentioned what I said on Facebook about this. Somebody brought up this story and said, boy, I really like this Pope guy.
Oh.
And I forwarded some of the articles about, you know, what he really is into and what he's really said and what he really does. And and then I brought up the thing about the Fox News guy who's now his chief of PR and told her, you are being lied to by professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pleased to see that she actually started to take it seriously.
That's great. Whew.
That is good.
I mean, I like doing this show because it brings me in contact with information that it might slip through the cracks otherwise.
Yeah. All right. Got news?
I have an answer for the guy who wanted to know more about this board game.
Oh, what's the board game?
It's it looks like a card game. Uh-huh. I'm just going to repeat a little info.
Is it Cards Against Humanity?
No, it's not.
Which is a great
Cards
game.
Against Humanity, you don't actually play any kind of role. You just try to...
Well, you do.
The stupidest thing possible.
Yep.
But this is from Brazil, so I was right that it was some South American country. The name in Brazilian is Pequenas Igrejas Grandes Negocios, which means small churches, big business. And I'm not going to reread this whole story, but you can find out more if you go to facebook.com/PIGN card game. One more time, that's facebook.com/PIGN card game.
All one word, card game. Okay, PIGN card game.
Yes.
Okay. So what's it all? You kind of told us what it was about before, right? And what this listener wanted to know was it's taken us till the end of the show to find the information. how to acquire the game.
Well, that's why I gave him the website.
That's PIGN card game.
Yes. I don't know if there's a translated version. I mean, it's from Brazil, so.
Okay. All right.
I'm not sure.
Thank you for that, Russell.
Okay. Well.
So, we still have time. Do you have a segment you're going to do at some point?
I think it may actually be time.
I think it's a good time.
Get into some shit. Internet apologists say. Today's episode comes from the fixthefamily.com blog.
Wow, what a name.
This is obviously the logical next step from focusing on the family.
We focused on it. Now let's fix it.
Yep.
I've got these tongs.
Target the family.
We've got valuable information this week about why you would not want to send your daughter to college, specifically.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
The title is 6 Reasons to Not Send Your Daughter to College, although they expanded it to 8 and then added a whole bunch of anticipated objections before they even gave the reasons. And I gotta say, just reading through them trying to anticipate objections is almost worse than the reasons they
give. I'll bet. How about the reason? It's freaking obscene.
Yeah.
All right. Start somewhere, man.
Probably the most controversial and rejected position we have at Fix the Family is that parents should not send their daughters to college. All right, so let's get straight. First, we'll get to the common objections that we received when this issue is raised. You don't believe in educating women. False. College and education have very little to do with each other.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Well, then why do you send your sons to college?
Yeah, there's no education. What's the point?
Give us more, man.
College has become more of a training ground for a job. And let's be clear, college graduates receive a diploma, but not necessarily an education. So the real reason girls go to college is for a degree, not an education. I strongly believe girls and women should be educated first and foremost in the Catholic faith.
Ugh.
If we look comprehensively at Catholic doctrine, we'll see very little that promotes a woman working outside the home.
Well, yeah, because you're talking about a belief system that was conceived 2,000 years ago by a bunch of primitive savages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Next objection. You believe in oppressing women. False. The church teaches that husband and wives are of equal dignity, but with different roles.
Almost. Yes, no, no. Oppression includes limiting people from doing the stuff that they want to do that is perfectly legal for other people. That's oppression.
Oh, by this definition. Is an awesome
There is
spin,
no
though.
Such thing as separate but equal. Yeah, separate roles but equal.
Right.
No such thing.
Especially when, I mean, it explicitly says the man should be the head of the household.
Right.
As
Makes
Christ
no bones
is the head of
it.
The church. Right.
Yeah. Well, the woman is the slave. That's a role. No.
Excuse me.
Actually, since the purpose of a college degree is for a job, it becomes unnecessary for our daughters to have such a credential. My personal impression is that the day-to-day grind of a job...
Whoa. So what, he has just admitted that they do not want their daughters to ever have any jobs.
Right.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But it's not. But they're not oppressing them. But they just don't want them to ever have any jobs.
Here's the spin. My personal impression is that the day-to-day grind of a job is below the dignity of women.
Oh,
in a way, it's like being a hired
sake.
Hand.
How convenient.
Wow.
How convenient that how about being the boss of that job? Right?
Nope. Yeah.
That's,
still beneath
that's
their
dignity. Uh-huh.
See, wow. If you look at it the right way, it's really the man who has the worst end of the deal.
Yeah,
it's misandry,
yeah,
man.
We're the ones who have to labor and slave our whole lives.
Right. Okay, go on.
Anyway.
It doesn't matter how hard a thing is. If a free person wants to do that thing, they have a right to try to do that thing. And when you deny that, it doesn't matter. You can't argue it away that, oh, it's for their own good that we're not letting them do this thing they want to do.
Right.
You are right. Oppressing them. That's how it works.
Yeah. So anyway, that's quite enough of reasons or of excuses they give for all the bad things people said to them.
We're going
to
jump ahead to, to their actual reasons.
Yep. Okay. Number one, she will attract the wrong types of men.
College-educated men. Right. The kinds of men that we're sending our boys to colleges to become.
Right. The ones who will have jobs. Yeah. What the? Their logic is so screwed.
Wait, so is he advocating that these women should all date men who also have not gone to college, or
apparently,
that they should maybe pick them up after the college is over?
Well,
no.
All right, I'm gonna play apologist here for a minute. I bet where he's going with this is, well, you know, our Christian boys going to college may be able to handle it, but they're going to be rubbing shoulders with people outside of our little cult, and that's the wrong kind of man. We've got to keep these women inside our houses all the time.
Well,
they
why
can't
doesn't
be going
he
off to
say
some...
that?
Well, because it's one sentence so far.
Okay.
I bet that's where he's going with it. Go ahead.
I share the common concern addressed to us, again, mainly by angry women, that there are so many lazy men in our society. But what mystifies me is why girls continue to marry them and then live to complain about them along with their parents. So what normally happens with this setup is that those lazy men are looking for a mother figure in a wife.
Yeah, okay, no. It's totally not going the one place I thought he might be able to actually make an argument that at least wasn't insane. It was wrong, but not insane.
I think I'm seeing the logic here.
He's apparently saying that men that go to college are lazy.
Right. Okay. And I don't...
No, I think it's actually different than any of us were thinking. I think what he's saying is that if women go to college, they will then be qualified to do a job.
Yeah.
And if they're doing a job, they'll make money. And they will then attract the kinds of men who want the woman to support him.
Oh.
And they're lazy.
I think Russell's right.
Well, I also have the benefit of skimming ahead.
Oh, yeah, well. That's
cheater.
But, all right. Wow.
So not only are they
gold-digging men.
Not only are these a-holes like making decisions for their own daughters and oppressing them.
Yeah.
They're also prejudging men who might have any interest whatsoever for any reason whatsoever in marrying professional women.
Yeah.
I guess
they have just thrown all of those men under the carpet
with
a blanket assumption that's because those men are lazy.
Right. And
these are the most judgmental assholes I've ever heard of.
I know. It's astounding. And they think their daughter has no control over this. They think their daughter's utterly helpless.
So whatever benefits she might get from going to college are negated because she's not going to understand this article.
Right.
Because she's too dumb.
Our daughters are blithering idiots. We can't expect them to live a full, rich life.
Okay. Go on.
Number two, she will be in a near occasion of sin. That seems like terrible grammar to me, but whatever.
A near occasion of sin.
She'll be sitting next to people with penises.
She will be outside of the carefully controlled
environment.
Hermetically sealed bubble. Environment of our house.
Yeah.
And therefore things might happen that we wouldn't approve of
in
her vicinity. Is that what this is?
Yeah,
it seems that way. Yeah. Just think of the environment that college-age students live in. You have a heavy concentration of young people all living together without the supervision of parents at the most sexually charged state of life they will experience. How can one expect anyone would be able to avoid these temptations, even on a Catholic college campus, much less a secular one?
Yeah, that was that one. Okay, move on.
Yeah, that was obvious.
Number three, she will not learn to be a wife and mother.
There's those roles again.
What, they don't teach
home
ec at colleges?
Well, that's what he says. Domestic homemaking.
May not learn to be a wife and mother, but she'll be a kick-ass nuclear scientist.
Yeah. No, you don't want her to be a nuclear scientist, because then she might attract lazy men.
Right.
Yes, that's the problem. Right.
And you wouldn't want her to become a nuclear scientist if, you know, in her vicinity at college, there were people having sex.
That's right.
That can't be allowed.
That can't be allowed.
So, again, instead of sending her to college, they need to send her to a place that would specifically educate her in the Catholic faith and the what would I be doing at home all day school.
You mean a nunnery?
Yes, a convent. Just send your daughters to convents. All daughters.
Right. Okay.
Number four.
That's right. Send your sons out to marry, like, atheist women, because the sons will be the masters of the house anyway.
Right.
And the views
their
of their
wives.
Even if they don't, the views of the husbands will trump everything. Therefore, that house will be run in a perfectly Christian way, no matter what that wife thinks. Because who cares what she thinks?
Right.
Number four. And I feel like this is massive misdirection.
Okay.
The cost of a degree is becoming more difficult to recoup.
Oh, good grief. Yeah. There's a practical issue. So what?
I mean, that's true, but that's got nothing to do with whether they're daughters or not.
Yeah.
Right. You don't decide. If you can only send some of your children to college, you should not be decided based on how many breasts they've got.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they take pot shots at the government, but whatever.
Oh, of course.
It's the government's fault, I'm sure. Yes.
Yeah. Only figuratively so far, right?
Right.
literally later.
Number five, you don't have to prove anything to the world. Often the reason for a girl going to college is the pressure of the society around her, including her parents.
That is a darn good argument for not, judging your daughter badly if she decides not to better herself.
Agreed.
If she decides.
Right.
Not an argument for you to take away her decision to try to do that in the first place.
Yes.
Wow, I hate these people.
I know. It.
What's next?
Number six, it could be a near occasion of sin for the parents.
What?
Yeah, what's their logic here?
Again, when, a happy couple goes to a college campus with his kids having sex all over the place, and they could turn into them swingers we heard about earlier.
That's right.
That is what we're talking. I think that's what this one is.
Well, once the kids are out of the house, they're going to do nothing but fuck all day.
Oh, is that maybe
no,
what
no,
they're saying?
No, I don't know. In our culture,
they'll be lonely and they'll want to join one of those sex clubs.
What's the elaboration here?
Oh, what? In our culture, many parents feel an unnecessary obligation to pay for the children's college tuition. Of course, to aid in that, there are a host of financial advisors who can set up college investment savings programs.
So if you have to raise the money to pay for your daughter's education, your wife might have to go into prostitution.
Well, we've already established that the wife working at all is bad, right? Let's see.
Well.
So,
No, because they're going to want the daughter to do that when she's married. And
no,
that's
we're
going to
bring
work.
This back to the fact that this guy is a Catholic.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
So parents may avoid having more children with contraception, sterilization, or illicit use of NFP to bear this cost. What's NFP?
Whoa, wait a minute. So they're saying if it's allowed for our daughters to go to college, then we have to send our daughters to college. And if we have to send our daughters to college, it might be too expensive. So if we have to send our daughters to college and we don't want to have all those expenses, we'll have to use contraception so we don't make daughters. That is this argument.
Contraception is a sin.
What? And contraception is a sin. Should I say it over again?
Well, yeah, I know. Contraception.
Yeah. If they have conflated allowing daughters to go to college with being obligated to send daughters to college. As soon as there's an obligation to send your daughters to college, then there's an expense, right?
Yeah.
That's not optional. And that means anytime you have a daughter, you have to send them to college. So you'll have to spend money.
Right.
So you might be motivated not to have as many children in order to avoid that expense.
Oh.
Therefore, you might resort to birth control. And that would be evil. That's the argument.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Never mind the fact that if you're not using any birth control at all,
you could
make a string of a very large number of boys.
Yeah.
Which you think can go to college.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't.
Already dealing with that.
Have they expressly said it's good to send boys to college?
They never really said that.
No.
They say it's okay. They're saying it's okay.
It's
and not
forbidden.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And it's forbidden for girls.
Huh.
But in this argument, they're saying if it's okay, then it's mandatory.
Boy, that
it
is
has
some
to be
serious.
It has
hoops.
To be mandatory, or their argument about contraception.
That is some serious gymnastics.
Doesn't work.
To get to that conclusion.
Now,
wow.
I've got one benefit of the fact that we actually have a studio audience today. Is
we have a studio audience. We should mention this other than
Dennis's
intro. We have people out there.
Hey,
hi, wave everybody.
Audience.
Nobody
Yay.
Can see you. We don't have a camera we can turn around.
No.
And also, you're so far away and on the other side of a wall of glass.
You can't
be heard either. But trust us. We have a volunteer to come crashing through the glass. No, thank you. That won't be necessary.
Will he bring Kool-Aid?
Oh, yeah!
I saw a
cartoon. You know the story of the three little pigs?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the third pig builds his house out of bricks.
Oh, right.
So there's the house made out of bricks with the pigs in it, right? And the wolf out there, he's like paying money to the Kool-Aid man.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Anyway, one of the studio audience just helped look up the fact that NFP is natural family planning, which is the Catholic term for, you know, scheduling things around.
And you're not allowed to
period.
Do that either? They just called that bad.
They did, yeah. Illicit use of NFP.
Illicit use.
Do you have to
secretly
be officially sanctioned?
What's illicit
You're
use
secretly
of it?
Having sex only at certain times.
So the church is mad that you're not having enough sex at the right time.
Right.
They
should
like
creating more Catholics.
Yeah, okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
This is astonishing stuff.
It
running
is.
Out of time
it
here.
Is.
Number seven is she will regret it. And I'm sure for all
except
the reasons
for all the
above.
Millions that don't. Yeah.
Taking some pot shots at feminism in the 60s here.
Wait. Well, no, we need more. You don't want to go into it because we only have 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
And
but
number
I'll just
eight
point out,
is...
I just want to point out the she will regret it argument is bullshit if they're allowing boys to go.
Right.
Because boys could just as easily regret it.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or unless they're playing the because there's going to be prejudice against educated women card, in which case they're assholes because they're the ones who are promoting that prejudice.
Right.
No, it's because the women wind up feeling like they're wasting their time when all they really needed to do was be good mothers and
mothers
shit.
And
they're like, why did I spend all those years getting educated?
Oh,
or,
grief.
Excuse me, not educated, because that's not what colleges do.
Right.
And number eight, it could interfere with a religious vocation.
Oh. Yeah, there it is.
Being nuns.
Yeah.
Is really what girls are fit for.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, that was astonishing. That,
fuck you, fix the family.
That was a really good one.
Yeah.
I have one last... letter.
Okay. Take us out.
You might recall that on a previous show, we did a news story that had something to do with a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That I promised we wouldn't
something
do anything
about.
That I promised we wouldn't do anything about on this show. Well, I'm not. I have a completely unrelated grocery store story. Richie in Louisville, Kentucky writes, I work at a grocery store up here in Louisville, Kentucky. In the break room are three Bibles. These Bibles are in the same spot every day, and I've never seen anyone pay them any attention, which leads me to conclude that this store has provided the Bibles, as I guess as opposed to the employees providing them. Though I'm sure this isn't an illegal act, it still seems as if the store, a rather large company with stores all over the nation. Should I say the name of the store chain?
Why not?
Doesn't matter. We don't know which one it is. It's a Kroger. You guys know about Kroger's?
Yeah, I remember Kroger.
Sure. Okay.
It seems as if the store is advertising a specific religion. There aren't any copies of the Quran or the Torah available, and it just seems unfair to me. I just wanted to see what you thought of it and if I should ignore it or speak up about it. We are in a union store here as well, and I'm not sure whether that may help me get results. Thanks. Hope to hear back from you guys. I'll be listening tonight, says Richie in Louisville, Kentucky.
Wow.
He's right in that, as far as I know, there's no legal reason why the owners of a store couldn't leave Bibles lying around.
Right.
My initial reaction to this is you say that nobody pays them any attention, so what's the big deal? And if I went into a doctor's office where there were some Spider-Man comics and nobody was paying them much attention, bothered me as a comic book fan, but but he was certainly within his rights to make that reading material available. It's entirely the doctor's choice what reading material to put in his waiting room.
Yeah.
And it's entirely the choice of the people in the waiting room what reading material, if any, to peruse. At most, you might want to try bringing in some other stuff and just leaving it there and see what happens.
Make sure you're not seen, but if a Koran just shows up.
Yeah, if you're seen dropping a Koran, that might have social repercussions. Yeah. That would be unfortunate, but there you go. That might be interesting, but I don't see what other issues this raises, guys.
Yeah, I mean,
it's privately owned store building thing. I mean, it's not like Hobby Lobby.
It's not like Hobby Lobby deciding how they're going to spend your healthcare
tax
money.
Dollars. Yeah. Right.
Now, if somebody tried to bring in an alternate reading material and that was like destroyed or called out in some way, then you might have a case.
Yeah. If you could catch the owners destroying that.
Yeah.
Do the owners have the right to put whatever they want on the table?
I won't even say you might have a case. I think you might have an issue. Right now, I don't think you have much of an issue. I would try bringing in completely innocuous, non-religion things. Bring in some, Field & Stream magazines or something and leave them there
for a while. About some science stuff.
Some science stuff. Yeah, that would be relatively neutral, not...
Right.
I wouldn't bring in a copy of God Is Not Great.
Yeah.
Leave it there. Though you could if you've got balls. That's your call. But just, why don't you just pad up the range of reading material, see if that is acceptable. And then at some point, there could also be some skeptical literature in there.
Yeah.
And see what happens once it's got some camouflage.
Right.
If you really want to do something, I'd try something like that.
It's an interesting experiment.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Okay. Well, how are we doing on time now?
We're done.
We're done?
We're done.
It's over. Done. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will be back, I believe, in 2 weeks. Right? Yeah. It'll be 2 weeks because it's on the 15th.
Well, that
continue
was our show.
Mein Herr.
Until we know that evolutionarily you enjoyed it, we'll be back with another episode in 2 weeks. Once the mutant super soldiers have been decanted on October the 15th. Until then, we leave you with I Am the Satellite by Brian Stieksma. And now you don't need the people, 'cause you've got your chance. You gotta take your head out.